Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex P. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by Boston Hemp, Inc., Saturday, April 27th. Ian Cameron, Alex B. Smith, and we are here for the Saturday NHL slate. Four games on tap, quadruple header style as well. You know, none of these two games on at the same time bullshit today. It's one of those days where you got one game after another, staggered start times, standalone games, all four of them today, starting at 2 p.m. Eastern with Hurricanes Islanders, Battle of Florida, Boston, Toronto, and Dallas, Vegas to wrap up the day and wrap up the night. So it's a huge Saturday of playoff action. Before we get into all of that, though, as always, we look back on the night before in the NHL. We start with the Rangers taking a commanding 3-0 series lead over the Washington Capitals. They are just the better team. Sometimes it can be just broken down and analyzed. Sometimes paralysis by analysis, over-analysis. And in that series, it's just very simple. One team's a better team and the other isn't. You know, one team's got a better roster than the other. And we're seeing it game in and game out in this series. And you're seeing it from the New York Rangers, from Shesterkin outperforming Charlie Lindgren, the defense outperforming the Caps defense for the Rangers, and of course the Ranger forwards outperforming the Caps D. The Rangers have been better at 5-on-5 in the series. But even more of a dominance in this series for the New York Rangers has been the special teams. Their special teams are absolutely destroying Washington's special teams. And it's everything. The Rangers' power play is doing a tap dance over the Capitals' penalty kill. And the Rangers' penalty kill is doing a tap dance over the Capitals' power play. Not only that, but the Rangers are scoring more on the Capitals' power plays than the Capitals are. That's been the kind of series. It's been multiple shorthanded goals for the New York Rangers in this series as well. So credit to the Rangers. They're up 3-0. I know John Massey tries to be tough on his team because he likes them and he doesn't want to fall into a false sense of security. And he says they still need to play better. The comment from him in our DM last night was that, you know, this isn't going to cut it against Carolina. Washington just sucks. That's pretty harsh. I think they're playing all right, New York. I think they probably do have to take it maybe up a notch a little bit against if they get to play Carolina. It's sure looking like we're on a collision course right now for Hurricanes Rangers in the second round. But credit to the New York Rangers. The power play's been lethal. Like I said, the special teams have been awesome. They've been opportunistic. They've shut down Alex Ovechkin for the entirety of the series. The only goal Washington got last night was a seeing eye shot from John Carlson, which I'll take because I had a goal prop for him, which is nice to cash that. Probably should have been a shot that Igor Shesterkin should have had, but nevertheless, that was it for Washington offensively, and I just haven't been able to get much going. So credit to the Rangers, Alex. 3-0 series lead over the Caps.
Yeah, like I said, you know, the better team is dominating. And it's funny, we talked about this a couple months ago. We said these teams that had to fight and claw and scratch their way to get into the playoffs might show some fatigue down the stretch. And what are we looking at right now? We've got three teams, two wild card teams, and the Islanders, who were in that wild card race, found a way to get to third. None of them have a single win in their respective series so far. And it's proven to be different matters and different methods, of course, but just the better teams are shining and outplaying them. It's simple as that. Ovechkin not showing up right now when he was the catalyst for that stretch run. When he finally started to wake up, that was right around the time Washington started winning games and getting back in that playoff race. Now he's gone radio silent again, and the team has followed suit with that. So, you're going to need, big-time effort to try to get out of a 3-0 hole, but I don't think they can do it. I think Lindgren is running out of gas. I think that whole team is running out of gas. Valiant effort, hell of a season for a team that really should have been a lottery pick team, in my opinion, when we look back at last October. But I think this might be the end of the road for the Washington Capitals.
Some goal shouldn't have gone in. It was a weird one. The reason I say seeing eye shot is because I think it was probably one of those shots for Shesterkin, but he still should have had it. But after that, he was terrific. Certainly made up for it in that Rangers win. The Vancouver Canucks, man, you want the definition of a gritty? you know, you grab your ball sack and nut up, as they like to say. That's what the Vancouver Canucks did last night. You know, that's exactly what they did. They had some balls, they had some guts, they had some courage. They, you know, they played such a hard, tough defensive game last night against the Nashville Predators. And to me, that was very impressive in my mind. And look, it says something that you can win the game 2-0 with 12 shots on goal, because that's all Vancouver had in that game. And that's something that they've got to correct. Okay, you're not going to be able to win indefinitely moving forward with just 12 fucking shots on goal. I mean, that's just not generating enough. But they made up for such a precious little lack of offensive generation. And the chances they did have, they did capitalize on a key early power play, JT Miller. What a call by Alex. First goal, plus 1,400 for his bargain bin special of the night. Definitely great call there with that. Again, Alex wasn't on the show yesterday. People are saying, wait a minute, Alex wasn't on the show. How is this his bargain bin? Well, we put it in the Patreon page because he still sends the card in on days he's not on the show. And we did put it up there before the game started. So we've got it documented and timestamped on the Patreon page for those that are DMing me and saying, wait a minute, he didn't really have this, did he? Yes, he did. It's on the Patreon page before the card, before the card got underway. We put the Patreon card up as we always do. And it was on there in the bargain bin special of the night segment. So it was there and he had it. Trust me. Great call with that. JT Miller first goal. And again, the Vancouver Canucks had that 2-0 lead. They scored again. Besser getting the second goal. And credit to Casey DeSmith too. He was actually good. He was really good at times, but they also did a tremendous job helping him out. I mean, everyone blocking shots. Pew Suter saved a goal in the first period. And I know for Alex, it was tough because I know he was on the first period over for Vancouver and Nashville, but that he would have scored if Pew Suter doesn't lift Ryan McDonough's stick right there on that. I think it was like a 3-on-1 or something. It would have been 1-1 at that time. There's no doubt he would have found the back of the net there. Nashville ends up making it interesting with the 2-1 goal, but that is as close as they got. The Canucks hang on for a, like I said, a real gritty, hard, strong team defensive 2-1 win over the Nashville Predators last night. And again, for Casey DeSmith, this has got to feel good. It wasn't a great game two for him. The first goal goes in on him a minute into the game, just as the crowd's chanting his name. Just a brutal way to start. And for that bounce back from him and from the team, you know, after a tough game two and just, you know, no woe is us attitude about the Thatcher Demko news. Yeah, does it suck? Of course. He's a great goalie. And to be without him for the rest of this series, maybe the rest of the playoffs, really does suck if you're the Vancouver Canucks and you're one of the players. But you got to respond, and you've got to show that, hey, we're not a team that's just Thatcher Demko only. We can play good defense. We can help out Casey DeSmith, and we believe in Casey DeSmith to be solid. And if we don't give him high danger looks, and if we don't give him grade A chances left and right each and every game, we're going to put ourselves in a spot to still win games here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And Alex, I think we saw that from Vancouver. Low event hockey, help out DeSmith, block shots, get in shooting lanes, make life easier on him, be opportunistic offensively, cash in on the power play. I think that's going to be the formula moving forward for the Canucks.
Yeah, it's going to have to be, especially now we're hearing this news that Demko might be done for the entire postseason. So if this is Casey DeSmith's net the rest of the way, then they're going to have to play this low event hockey. You're going to have your guys blocking anywhere between 25 to 30 shots. Well, that works for one game against a team like Nashville. But if you make it out of this series, and then you have to play Edmonton or you have to play Los Angeles, how is that going to work out? How would that work out in the conference final matchup against a Winnipeg, Colorado, Vegas, or Dallas? Probably not that well. And it's so funny. We always roll back to this coaching staff. And what we saw in that game last night was a lot of block shots, a lot of defensive effort, not a whole lot of shooting, 12 shots on goal, 6 of them coming from JT Miller. What did that remind you of from an old regular season team we've seen coached by an assistant that's currently on this staff? It's reeked of an old Mike Yeo Minnesota Wild kind of a game where they got so bogged into their own zone and taking care of shit in their own end. There wasn't much offense to throw at the wall. So now you get to a point where as a series goes on, these guys are blocking more shots. They're a little bit more tender. Maybe a guy gets hurt. Maybe you end up having a guy missing a shift or two, taking a shot off the ankle, shot off the hand. Now you're shorthanded. Now you're asking, you know, other guys to step up and maybe not, you know, guys who aren't qualified to block shots to get in the lanes or play better defense to jump in those spots. And you still can get overwhelmed, still end up giving up goals. And now you have to try to convert your mindset to being, now we got to press more offensively, which means we're going to lose more on the back end defensively. I think it's just a bad setup right now for Vancouver. It works for now, but how is this going to sustain down the stretch, even in this series against a Nashville team that's not overwhelming offensively, but they have guys that can definitely score goals. They have depth. They have energy. And that's what we saw late in that contest as well. Like I said, that Bridgestone Arena home ice advantage could carry a lot of weight. And if it wasn't for those block shots, that game would have been tied. Hell, Nashville might have even won that game in regulation with the flurries that they had late in the third period. So, you know, it's a great win, good confidence builder, but can you repeat that again in game four? That's the question for Vancouver.
Clearly, Rick Tocchet was not happy with the commitment defensively and the commitment to blocking shots because, you know, it's funny, Nashville had a 30-8 advantage in blocked shots in game two, the game that they won. And obviously, a guy like Rick Tocchet, that's not good enough. And boy, did they change it. Canucks had 30 blocked shots last night in game three. So clearly that commitment to playing defense and doing everything to help out Casey DeSmith and make it easier on him and give him the best chance possible to win his first playoff game here with the Canucks. They did it. So credit to them. But again, can they do, is this a blueprint that they can, you know, continue to roll out there moving forward? Because if you're going to block that many shots every night, someone's going to get hurt at some point. I mean, that's too, you know, risk injury. It's one thing to commit to block shots, but it seemed like every shot going to the net, there was someone looking to block it. And you got to pick your spots with that still. If you think it's a real dangerous chance, that's a good time to block a shot. If it's a long distance, you know, floater from the blue line with no traffic in front, that's not exactly a time to block a shot. You got to have enough faith in your goalie that say, hey, this is a routine save, man, Casey, make it, you know, without needing to just put your body in front of it every single time.
And here's another thing, too. When you have teams that are committing hard to blocking shots, to getting in the middle of lanes, you got a team that passes the puck well in Nashville. They read and react to that, and maybe all of a sudden now you get these off-times passes. You get a lot of dekes, a lot of fakes. Now you're going to have guys getting caught out of position as well. So you have to time these blocks properly. Otherwise, if you start, you know, giving some tendencies away, they'll be able to just beat you with clean passing, and then they'll get open looks, get two-on-one rushes. They'll be able to actually generate some even better offensive chances than they would if you're just playing kind of just a straight up and down style.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Yeah, I cap friendly about the. We'll get to the. I'll save it for when we talk about the Leafs with the Bruins later on in the show. But as far as the next game, Winnipeg, Colorado for two periods, man, that was such a nice road performance from the Winnipeg Jets. I thought at 5-on-5 even strength. I thought the first period, you know, the first few minutes they were all over Colorado, and you do have to credit Georgiev. He had to make a couple of big saves early. Colorado got the first goal courtesy of Zach Parise. I mean, what can I say? We said we was live to score a goal, and sure enough, old man Winter, drinking from the fountain of youth, did it again for the Colorado Avalanche, got them that lead. But the Jets tied it in the second, and then they got a big power play goal from Josh Morrissey, point shot, great traffic in front from Vilardi, 2-1 Jets. And at that time, it looked like they were starting to gain some control of the game. They were in the Colorado offensive zone, and for two periods, it was like, wow, Winnipeg's put themselves in a nice position here. And then they did the cardinal sin when you're playing a team like the Colorado Avalanche. You can't take not one, not two, not three, not four, but five straight penalties against a team like that in a third period of a playoff game when you have a lead on the road. You are just asking for trouble. You are asking for disaster. And boy, was that disaster for the Winnipeg Jets in the third period last night. You just can't be in the box for the whole period and expect to win against that power play. And Colorado lit them up like a Christmas tree with the man advantage over and over again. You got to have control of your stick there as well. They got assessed a 4-minute double minor. It was the right call. It was blood drawn. You got to have control of your stick as well. So it was bad penalties, you know, losing battles, lack of stick discipline, everything for Winnipeg. And you saw Rick Bonus. He's just shaking his head and just so upset, you know, disgusted, I think, with all the penalties. And they were all pretty much good calls. I don't think you can actually bitch about any of the calls, quite honestly, if you're a Winnipeg Jets fan. They were all deserved. And it was just a absolute onslaught in the third period, and a 2-1 Jets lead going into the third period ends in a 6-2 loss, 5 unanswered goals for Colorado. It really was a literal avalanche in the third period for Colorado in that game. And look, you can't take those penalties, and you can't be shorthanded. You wear out your penalty killers, and when the penalty killers get tired against a team that can just move that puck and bing, bang, boom that puck around in the offensive zone with the power play, you're going to be in some trouble. But at the same time, I hate to say this because this is the Vezina front runner we're talking about here coming into the playoffs. You got to have a save there. You got to try to step up and keep the puck out in one of those sequences, and Connor Hellebuck was not able to do that. And I thought he had a really good two periods as well, just like the team. I thought he was excellent the first two periods. But you got to come up with that one. If you're the Vezina Trophy front runner, and you are based on your regular season performance, you've got to come up with one of those 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 on the Richter scale saves. One of those saves is like, oh my God, what a save. Huge stop to keep his team in the game. That kind of moment. We didn't get it from Connor Hellebuck. All we got was another goal and another goal and another goal for Colorado, and there was no stop the bleeding moment from one of the best goaltenders in the National Hockey League. And now it's become what was already a little problem, a little concern with Connor Hellebuck's, now a big concern, that now that Winnipeg Jets gave up 6 goals in game one, the game that they won, they still gave up 6. They gave up 5 in game two, and they gave up 6, including 5 in the third period last night. It's not going to win you hockey games, and it's certainly not going to win you this series against the Colorado Avalanche. So they need Hellebuck to step up flat out. And here's the thing that really concerns me as someone that's really worried now about my position on the Jets here in this series. Last year, they won game one against Vegas, looked good, and then it was a complete flat line the rest of the series. 4 straight, they lost, and out they go. Rick Bowness with the tirade after that series, saying how disgusted he was and no pushback and all that. We've played the clip a bunch of times on this show. Starting to look like that right now. I hate to say it's starting to look like that right now for Winnipeg, that they win game one, and this is now game two. They didn't look great. Game three, that was a brutal third period. Total lack of discipline, totally sewering their chances in that game last night. And if they don't win game four, Sunday afternoon, they might be staring at 4 straight after winning game one, just like last year. And Rick Bowness is going to have to come on that podium again after game five and say the same shit. No pushback and all this stuff that he did last year after that. And then you've really got to question the core group again. You got to question Scheifele. You got to question, is Hellebuck a playoff goalie? And that's a legit question now. How many playoffs since they went to the conference final that year against Vegas, and it was a long time ago, how many playoff series has Connor Hellebuck won? You know, and this Jets team won. So there's now big time pressure on this group. They need a response in game four Sunday afternoon. And if they don't get one, it could be lights out, and it could be a grounded aircraft jet carrier going back to Winnipeg. Alex, that was about as bad as it gets for Winnipeg third period. And worst of all for me, I'm on the team total over 2.5. They get goose egged in the third period, falls short. Yeah. It's still only 2 goals. So that was brutal. The good news is the over cashed with the 6.5 and part of the parlay with the Edmonton LA over. We talked about the over 5.5 parlay, Winnipeg, Colorado, Edmonton LA. We did hit that. So it wasn't all bad, but man, brutal third period for the Winnipeg Jets. Bad as it could get.
Yeah, it was rough to watch. And somebody who had Jets plus 145 also had a plus 250 ticket live with Jets 2-1 after 3 games. Excuse me. That was just pretty much the worst thing you could possibly see. And like I said, none of these were questionable ticky-tack calls. These were just completely sloppy plays, lazy plays. Like I said, being careless with the stick, and drawing that 4-minute double power.
I'll be honest, Alex, lack of composure, and a team that looked like they got fucking rattled in that third period, especially, and they kept taking penalties, and that's a sign of them. They were rattled, clearly. Yeah.
And after that, but with the 4-minute double minor, I said on Twitter, I said this defines the game here. And sure enough, they just completely fell apart at that point. I don't even look too much at the goals that came later on after that, because that game was pretty much done. They mentally checked out with about maybe 5 minutes left. Of course, you saw the fisticuffs and the scuffling afterward, which, like I said, I don't mind seeing that from a team getting blown out. That's you showing that, okay, we still got some fight, we still got some life. But if you just skate off the ice after a 6-2 loss like that and you don't throw some punches, get into some skirmishes, get some kerfuffles, then that's where you go, okay, yeah, this series is over. Let's bet Colorado every way we can down the stretch.
I did like that they got nasty at the end. I actually like that they did that. Adam Lowry in particular, like he's the guy, I love that guy. I really do. He's a phenomenal captain. He really, really is. He wasn't going to go down with a third period of an abomination like that without taking some physical pounds of flesh from the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah. And that's the way it's supposed to be when you lose a game like that, especially a game that you had in hand for the better part of 40 plus minutes. So now you have to take that energy, you conserve it, and you ball it up and you take in the game four, and you got to take it early. You have to play that same style early. And like I said, Georgiev, I was loving the pace in which the game went. I didn't mind that Colorado got the first goal. I love that Georgiev was making these big 10 bell saves early because it looked like, okay, here we go again. This defense has let him down, and he's now got to step up and make these big saves. How many of these can he keep on making in a night? And then the defense settled in the second period. And then, like I said, with not much pushback in the third, he didn't have to do much. So kind of gives him some rest within a game, which is much needed for him, much needed for that team trying to progress right now. But the key for Winnipeg is to pressure that team early in the first 20 minutes. You have to come out guns blazing. You have to play the first 20 minutes like it's a game seven. If you're Winnipeg, like I said, you can't afford to go down 3-1 going, even if you are going back home. The way that this momentum has shifted now, you have to take the air out of the building, take the air out of that team, start off hot and early on Sunday in game four.
Yeah, they do. They ought to have a huge first period, and they got to have a third period that doesn't go off the rails like it did last night for them. But yeah, I at least like that they got, they were angry, they were pissed off. It wasn't just that woe is us, hang our heads and just go quietly into the night. I like that there was at least some physical anger exerted by the Jets with all those scrums and those melees at the end of the game last night. That tells me that they're still emotionally connected. It's not like, wow, we're going to quit on this series. We're not done yet. That's what it looked like to me. We're not done yet. But they're going to have to play better. They got to shore up the discipline, and they need Hellebuck to look like regular season Hellebuck. And what point do we get, by the way? And I brought this up yesterday. Maybe I said maybe a little crazy to bring it up, considering this guy might win the Vezina. But Laurent Brossoit was amazing down the stretch. Laurent Brossoit won a series for the Vegas Golden Knights in the playoffs against this Winnipeg Jets team that he's now playing for. So it's not like he can't go. And he actually statistically, believe it or not, stats-wise, post-All-Star break had better numbers. Albeit much less sample size, but better numbers than Connor Hellebuck, Laurent Brossoit. Does LB get consideration at some point in this series? It's not, I think, an outlandish question anymore.
And when this game became 4-2, that should have been the time where you pull Hellebuck, say, all right, you know what? You've done enough for tonight. And then you give Brossoit the rest of the net and then just give him some. Now, I get the optics of that are questionable because, okay, let's say they come back and win the game, or you lose only 4-3, 5-3. Then you start putting the doubt of, oh, do we have a controversy? Are you going to start Brossoit? Are you going to start Hellebuck? And I don't think that would be the case. If you do that, you give Hellebuck some rest off of a bad game. Say, hey, block this out of your system. Get refreshed and refocused, and then be ready for game four. So I think you kind of missed that window of opportunity to give Brossoit some time and give, more importantly, Hellebuck some rest. And just some mental clarity to then come back and be ready for game four. So that's something that might be, that's a, kind of the way I would be looking at it more so than just, oh, you just don't turn the net over to Brossoit right now at this point. Hellebuck's still your guy, but he needed a mental respite. And facing those extra goals late in the game sure didn't help any of the matters that he was feeling when this game was still in question.
Yeah, I think, too, he needs a little – and he's not going to get much rest. That's the thing. I mean, they're right back at it. They go from a Friday night to a very early Sunday afternoon local start time at 12:30 in Denver on Sunday afternoon for game four. So there's not a lot of turnaround time. There's no question about that. You know what I find funny about the ending there? And obviously it got rough. There was a scrum at the end, and then before that we saw Lowry and Wood go at it. I think you can make a case Adam Lowry still won that fight even though he couldn't see. He had his head caught up in his jersey and his sweater, and I don't think he could see shit, and I think he still won that fight. That's pretty impressive. Tells you how tough that fucking guy is. There's no doubt, but an alarming third period for Winnipeg, and we'll see what kind of response they have in them, because that's now suddenly a very important game four for them Sunday afternoon. And then the last game of the night, pretty much dominant start to finish by the Edmonton Oilers. And here's another situation where I got to criticize Jim Hiller a little bit. That game was out of reach. It got to the point where it was 4-1, certainly 5-1. I know it was not, it was only the third period by that time, but let's take Cam out, Talbot, that is. Let's put Riddick in. Let's at least give him a physical and mental break, all right? Because I think he needs one a little bit, and it's not all on him. He wasn't great, but that Kings defense, again, it's really the whole series outside. You know, game two, they outscored their issues against Edmonton. That's why they won. But for three games, Alex, LA hasn't been able to defend Edmonton worth a lick so far in this series. And that's been their bread and butter for years, is defensive hockey, making things difficult, taking off the inside part of the ice, you know, keeping teams to the outside. And LA has just been totally incapable of doing that against Edmonton here in this year. Zach Hyman single-handedly destroying them. You know, he scores again last night. McDavid with a multi-point night. Draisaitl had a big night. Evander Kane, great job by Chris Knobloch. He showed me some coaching chops last night. Chris Knobloch moved Evander Kane up the lineup and look at the game Evander Kane had for the Edmonton Oilers. So very impressive bounce back performance. I did expect Edmonton to win. I didn't think they'd thrash the LA Kings quite like that. In game three, I know you were on Edmonton. I had Edmonton team total, and I had Edmonton in a team total over 2.5 plus 5.5 full game over. And then the over 5.5 as part of the parlay with Winnipeg, Colorado over 5.5. So totals wise, it ended up being a good last couple of games, but it was just the Winnipeg money line and the team total that brought the overall night down just a little bit for me. But this one just really, Alex, Edmonton looks faster. Hard to contain that speed. I will say this, Drew Doughty was great. He was the one king on the blue line that was very good again. Drew Doughty scored their only goal last night in that game with a nice play. He's been very good in this series, but I think the big theme right now is that LA's having a hard time containing this very potent offensive attack and keeping up with the puck movement and the head-on-a-swivel mentality you have to have defensively. They're not coping with it very well. LA Kings in this series, and they're taking a shit ton of penalties. Just like a little bit what we talked about with the Winnipeg-Colorado game, you can't take that many penalties against Edmonton. You're going to pay the price.
Yeah, you have the worst part of Winnipeg, right, with the penalties and playing undisciplined. And then you've also got a little bit of element there with Washington just being completely outgunned, not, you know, slow of foot, not having the speed to keep up with a team like Edmonton. And so when you have those issues and you combine that now with the goaltending of Cam Talbot, the guy we know we can't fully trust in the playoffs. Like, it's been too many times, too many years with too many teams now. We cannot trust this man to be a solid goaltender in the postseason. And he's proving that as well. And so he said, you know, do you take him out at some point and give him some rest? Probably what would have been a good idea, just like I said, as a mental reset. And it's funny that we don't see coaches doing that now, especially when you're talking about the system of having this two-goalie tandem throughout the regular season. Even going back in the days in the playoffs, when you saw goalies playing 65, 70, 75 games, if they were getting crushed in a game and it's in the series, it's 2-1, it's not a defining elimination game spot, you saw that goalie get pulled. And you saw the backup come in and you know, get some time late to give that starter a little bit of rest and a little bit of a reset. So it's interesting that in two spots where there was clearly a time and space to do that, and where it seemed like that's necessary considering the goaltenders we're talking about, it wasn't done. And I think, you know, I think we're going to definitely see it come back to bite the Kings more than the Jets. And I'm not just saying that because I have money still on the Jets. I really just think with the Kings, you need top-tier goaltending. You need your A1 effort from Cam Talbot the rest of the way, because the defensemen in front of him are not going to stop Edmonton. These shots are going to come. You're still going to face 40, 45. I don't care who you have in net. They're going to be facing 40, 45 shots. They're going to be getting these high-low looks. They're going to be getting traffic in front of the net. So he's got to be as fresh as he possibly can. And if he's not, then this series will just be over. It's a matter of when, I think, at this point, when Edmonton beats LA, not if. It's a matter of if it's going to be 5 or 6 games. And I actually did take a shot plus 200, and I've seen this number move a little bit. Edmonton end this series 4-1 to wrap it up in 5 games.
It probably will end 4-1 if they win the next game. There's no question. You know, if they win game 4 as well in LA, they sweep the 2 games in LA, then this series may not get back to LA. You know what's scary too for Edmonton is their defensemen are shooting the puck now. Bouchard always did, but you're seeing Matthias Ekholm's shot volume go up. Darnell Nurse shooting the puck. Brett Kulak scored a goal earlier in this series with a point shot. for Edmonton. I mean, you got to contain that now, in addition to what they've got with McDavid and Draisaitl and the guns they've got up front. So that makes it very difficult when Edmonton's got it going like that. All right, we hope to have it going with our wagers here today on this Saturday slate with four games, and we will begin with the first game, which will begin at 2 p.m. Eastern this afternoon. Do or die for the New York Islanders at UBS Arena as they take on the Carolina Hurricanes. Carolina up 3-0 in the series, looking to break out the brooms and finish off the sweep. Carolina -190 road favorites, 5.5 the total here in this game. I mean, as much as you like to think the Islanders with Patrick Waugh behind the bench, guy that's the ultimate competitor, it seeps down to his players that we're not going down without a fight. I don't think they're going down without a fight, but at some point you just realize who the better team is. And in this series, it's Carolina. For me, it's very difficult to trust the New York Islanders. They are going back to Semyon Varlamov. I'll be honest, the Sorokin experiment was a disaster, quite honestly. I mean, he goes in there, he gives up 3 goals. The guy that they put in there to try to get the team, you know, just to flip a switch. It's not that Varlamov was bad in the first 2 games. This was really just, you know, we're down 2-0. We need a spark. Let's go to Sorokin and see what happens. And he gives up the 3 goals, and a couple of them were, I'd like to see him stop him. And sure enough, he gets pulled. Varlamov takes over. As soon as that happened, you knew that Varlamov's probably going to get this do or die game 4. And that's the case. Of course, Freddie Anderson back in net for Carolina, who's really had a good series. And I'll be honest, this is one of the better playoff series I've seen Freddie Anderson play in quite some time, because there's been a little playoff question about him in the past, you know, whether about his playoff performance, but it's been solid. The defense is outstanding for Carolina. They're getting all kinds of different contributions. One night it's Aho. One night it's Stefan Nason can step up, score a goal on the power play. Tara Vinen can step up for them. Gensel's been a huge addition offensively. So it's always someone a little bit different. Natchez, of course, as well. Jordan Martinuk scored earlier in this series. Kuznetsov got them going in game 1. I mean, you've just seen so many different players for Carolina contribute to this 3-0 effort in the first 3 games of this series. So I think Carolina does end it, but again, I don't want to lay -190. So what I did is I used Carolina in a 2-game moneyline parlay piece. First of 2 legs on a 2-game moneyline parlay piece. I'll keep the suspense going and not mention the second leg of that until we get to it. But Carolina in a moneyline parlay piece. And I'm also on the over bifecta here. I mean, the over first period is 3-0 in this series. I don't see what changes. We've seen 3 first period overs. The Islanders do have to come out swinging, which has the potential to open the game up right away. So over 1.5. Again, the first period over is hit in all 3 games in this series, and also the full game over as well, because this is an elimination game. The overs are something that, not that they can't hit without it being an elimination game. We did see an over with Edmonton and over with Winnipeg last night, those 2 games. But in the elimination game in particular, and especially when you're talking about a team like the Islanders being the team facing elimination and a coach that has shown no hesitancy to pull the goalie early in Patrick Waugh, the over 5.5 at what, +102 is what I got on that, becomes very, very appealing. And even the first period over around at Pinnacles around that same price, +100, even money or so. So you're getting some really cheap, cheap bargain bin, dare I say it, prices on the first period and full game over here in an elimination game. So I like both of those. And like I said, I'm on Carolina as part of a 2-game moneyline parlay piece. Alex, what do you think here? Game 4, Canes, Isles.
Yeah, I think this is the end of the road for the Islanders. This is a Carolina team, like I said, that's just been able to kind of dominate them. And with their offensive overload now, but also being able to get some good goaltending from Frederick Anderson, it just seems to be a little too much for the Isles. The only thing that I have on here, I have the first period over at 1.5. I got even money, and I probably will look to add a little bit more in game. But the biggest play that I have in this spot is the third period over. And you have to shop around not only for price but for number, because a lot of places will have this 1.5 -170. I saw like a 180 at one book. I was able to grab, and it's still available, over 2 -$1.05 for the third period over pregame, which I think is crazy considering the fact that, which we talked about with the Islanders and having Patrick Waugh, a guy who's notorious for pulling the goaltender early, I was stunned that this wasn't a 2.5. So I think there's tremendous value in that. It's not my best bet because it's an early game, but it was damn near close to being my strongest play of the day. I think that's a great number and a great price in this spot. So I'm not on the full game over. I'm just on the first period over 1.5 even money and the third period over 2 minus the -5 available at BetMGM.
All right, so that's first period over and third period over. And third period over is something we talked about a little bit last year, but especially 2 years ago, when 2 years ago we were still getting third period overs at like minus 140, you know, really good prices still to bet pre-period. You're not getting those anymore. When we first started talking about the third period overs in elimination games, and you can go back and look 2 years ago in the playoffs, that's when we really started hammering home the third period over bets in an elimination game. But we've seen a huge adjustment in the juice attached to those third period overs before the period begins. So that's the big difference between then and now, no question. As far as the props go, look, I like what I've seen from multiple Carolina players. And again, it's been one of those playoffs where, you know, for them, they've gotten so many different contributions. So that's why for them, it can be a little bit more difficult to pin down one or two players, because any given night, someone could make a big impact here as far as putting the puck in the net for the Carolina Hurricanes. But you look at this playoff so far and what we've seen, Brady Shea, you know, as far as points are concerned, you know, he's been very good. So if you can find a point prop for Brady Shea, he's been involved from the blue line, you know, in a lot of the offense for the Carolina Hurricanes for sure. Definitely something to keep in mind. The leader in points for them, all assists, is Andrei Svechnikov so far in this series with 4 points for the Carolina Hurricanes. Kuznetsov with a goal and an assist for them. Stefan Nason had a goal, and he's, again, gets power play time. I'd probably look at Gensel, Aho, Teravainen. They have all had multiple point series so far for the Carolina Hurricanes, multiple points in the series to this point. So be looking in those directions for them. For the New York Islanders, going to be stubborn and go back to the Casey Cizikas well one more time. He's still on the top line. He had a bunch of chances the other night too. Puck's just so close to going in for him. It really is. So I don't want to be in these spots today where I stay off it for a change and this is the day he scores. Engvall, I agree. Engvall might be worth a look. He's been noticeable the last couple of games for the Islanders. But yeah, Cizikas and Engvall both have pretty good value because I think they've had chances. It just Engvall did score the other night. Cizikas has been close. And other than those two guys, I would say stick with Horvat, Nelson, and Palmieri and trust those guys to get it done for you, because I don't trust anything in the third or the fourth line to get me offense right now for the New York Islanders in this game. All right, Battle of Florida, Game 4, another do-or-die game, this time for the Tampa Bay Lightning, down 3-0 in the series. Florida minus 120 road favorites, 6 the total in this game. And this is the other leg of the parlay piece with Carolina. I put Florida, just Florida money line in there with Carolina. I could have bet Carolina on its own, but if I bet Carolina individually, I would have had to look regulation line or puck line, and I don't want to do that. I said, you know what, let's just put Carolina in a money line parlay, pair it with Florida. Obviously, you know, you're either going to win this or one of them's going to hurt you. But one and one, you're going to lose juice anyway if you bet them individually. So just put Florida and Carolina in a money line parlay. And the price is very good on that. At Pinnacle, which is where I bet Florida and Carolina, this two-game money line parlay, plus 178. So pretty good price with that. For those two, just to win the game too. I don't have to worry about whether it's overtime or whether it's regulation. I don't have to worry about how many goals they win by. Just win, baby, as Al Davis said. That's all. So Florida and Carolina money line parlay here, plus 178. And then as far as this game goes, I'm going back to the well. We've had a weird series with the over bifecta in this series, where we had it in game one and in game two in Florida. We saw the first period over hit in both games, the full game over not hit in those two games. And then in game three, it was the reverse. It was a brutal, tough beat, even you could say, on the first period over in game three, but the full game over cashed for the first time in this series. So can we get a day, Alex? Come on, give us both for a change. One game where we can get the first period over and the full game over. This could be the day, because it is an elimination game. Tampa's got to empty the kitchen sink at Sergei Bobrovsky, and for gosh sake, they've got to get the power play going. They simply have to. It's been a disappointment. It's supposed to be the number one power play in the NHL, and they have not had that kind of success here against this very good Florida penalty kill. Florida's been absolutely tremendous as far as the penalty killing is concerned here in this series. But they've got to get it going on the power play. It's not been easy against Florida. But like I said, I think at 5-on-5 even strength, Florida has shown their superiority in this series. Every time Tampa Bay has been getting a foot in the door in this series, Florida's had an answer for them. So, like I said, I think it's tough for Tampa right now. And they have the heart. They certainly have the experience. They have the players in the dressing room where you say, gosh, you really think these guys with this cup experience are going to get swept? They've also played a shit ton of hockey. They also don't have the forward depth on the third and the fourth line they once did. They also don't have the blue line depth that they once did. You know, Ryan McDonough is not walking through that door for this team. And some of these past blue liners that they've had that have been big, big pieces to this, to the success of this team, they're not coming through that door anymore. You know, you basically see guys like McDonough, among others, no longer on Chernak. There's another Ruda, I should say, out as well. Others that have left on this blue line, and you replace them with all due respect. You know, Radish is still developing. I think he's actually been solid, but Perbix and some of these others, it's just not the blue line depth they once had. And plus, as far as Vasilevsky goes, he's still been really good at times, but not for extended stretches and not what he was last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. So you put it all together. Florida's got it in them, I think, to end it here. And don't underestimate what I said the other day, too, about Florida maybe wanting to sweep in particular. Not just win this series, but actually sweep them. Actually win in four straight, because Tampa did this to them 2 years ago in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So, yeah, we're going to take a little Panthers-Hurricanes moneyline parlay, and like I said, over bifecta as well. Alex, Panthers-Lightning.
705 days. That's the span between when Tampa Bay finished off Florida in a 2-0 win at home to sweep the Panthers out of the second round to today. I think that's something that's definitely going to be in the minds of those guys who were in that locker room 2 years ago, remembering that how they felt. And that was, keep in mind, too, the back-to-back.
People say, well, Florida can't sweep them. Florida can't sweep them. May I remind you about a certain Eastern Conference final 1 year ago?
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. So this is the spot for Florida. I was able to grab a minus $1.15 at a faraway spot on the money line, but I also liked regulation plus +135. I think Florida takes care of business. I think this is just a full dominant effort from them. Tampa Bay, like I said, they're a valiant team, but they just don't have the horses anymore. Vasilevsky now looks human in the playoffs. It's something we haven't been able to say in the last 3-4 years prior. Like I said, this defense, this blue line, they're not making those blocks like they once were. They're not getting to those lanes and clogging up and breaking up passes like they were before. Florida's just dominating them on a complete level right now. And like I said, Tampa Bay, they get frustrated. They lose their composure a little easier than they have in previous years. Now you put Florida on the power play where they've been able to convert. And when you get a chances on the power play, you aren't converting because Florida's penalty kill has been rock solid. So everything is pointing toward Florida right now. I think they take care of business and sweep them out. So give me Florida. I also have a smaller piece of the first period over just because we're still riding the trend. And based on how I feel like this is going to be the last time we can back this Tampa Bay Lightning trend. But I also like the third period over as well. I laid the over to minus -145. And that's also available at BetMGM because most places are showing 2.5 at plus money. I'm not really as confident with that 2.5. I'd like to have the 2. We push on 2, and then we can just get our money back. So I'm willing to lay a little bit of the juice here with a 2 rather than going with the over 2.5 for that third period.
Yeah, Nick in our chat likes Tampa Bay. I think if you like Tampa Bay, that's a good approach. Take the puck line. You know, don't settle for plus 100. Yeah. Plus +230, plus the chance that maybe you get an empty netter if you have the lead,
and they win
in the third period. Yeah, I like that you're going for the extra value because I'm telling you what, to me, the money line price looks like the value's on Florida here. But if you like Tampa Bay, go for that extra bigger price on the puck line.
Well, wait, but then the regulation price. What are you looking at for regulation? You're looking at between plus +160, plus +170. Yep. You don't need the extra goal there. You're still getting a much better number than the 100. So maybe regulation probably your best option, for security's sake. You win by one in a regulation, you cash.
Yeah, and don't overthink it with the props. I mean, Tkachuk for Hagee. I mean, they both come through. They both scored big goals for this team throughout the series last year in the Stanley Cup playoffs as well. You look at the Florida statistics here in these playoffs. You know what's funny about Florida is, again, we're getting so many different contributions. You've seen a goal and an assist from Vladimir Tarasenko. He's probably worth a look, too, just because of that. He's had 2 points in this series for the Florida Panthers. Reinhardt's obviously been good, 2 goals. Bennett's out, but Montour, 1 goal, 1 assist, 2 points, 3 assists from Forsling. Steven Lawrence gets a goal and an assist in this series. He's down on the fourth line. Tkachuk with the 5-point series, unbelievable performance from him in this series. Again, 3 goals, 2 assists. Mr. Playoffs is what he is. I mean, his playoff performances last year and then so far in the first 3 games of this series. I mean, he's got 5 points in the first 3 games of this series, Matthew Tkachuk. So, hey, he can chew on that friggin' mouth guard of his all he wants if he's going to play like that. He's been absolutely tremendous once again for the Florida Panthers. I think for Tampa Bay, if who's going to score for them in a must-win spot to save your season? Stamkos has been on fire. He's been good. He's scored the last game. He's on a multi-game goal streak now. Braden Point. I'm going to go back to Nick Paul, who rewarded me again last game, game 3. Scored the goal that made it 4-3, but made it interesting at least down the stretch. So, yeah, those would be the ones I'd be focusing on for Tampa props here in Game 4 this afternoon. We go from this afternoon to tonight for the next 2 games, which are both the Saturday night games. Boston and Toronto, a pivotal Game 4 in this series, the swing game, if you will. It's either going to be 2-2 going back to Boston, or the Bruins will take a commanding 3-1 series lead. Toronto minus 115 home favorites, 6 the total. The big headline news, Willie is back. William Nylander is back for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Will make his series debut for the Leafs here tonight in Game 4. And it looks like he will be playing alongside Kalle Yarncroke and Pontus Holmberg on the third line. And I think the reason for that is Sheldon Keefe knows this guy's been dealing with serious migraines. And I've been educated by Alex and others that this stuff's no joke. You can get dizzy. You could get nausea. You could have spells where you just have to sit down and you can't even, you know, think or look straight. Even blurred vision, I've heard, can be caused by these. So, you know, it certainly shines a new light on, you know, there's people saying, oh, get over your headaches and it's the Stanley Cup lift. It's that kind of shit that's happening and those kind of symptoms. Yeah, you could understand why he's missed the first 3 games here for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Yeah, go ahead, Alex. You look like you want to say something.
Oh, no, I'll let you finish. But yeah, definitely we're going to touch on that in reference to with the issue with migraines. But
yeah, no doubt. But he's ready to go. Apparently, you know, they've cleared up enough to the point where he can play here tonight in this game. And I think the main thing you look at from the Toronto Maple Leafs here tonight with Nylander back is what line. You knew there'd be some lineup changes when you have a game like that and the offense does nothing and the power play has been brutal in this year. The power play has really hurt the Toronto Maple Leafs in this series. 1-for-11 with the man advantage for the Leafs going into this game tonight. And of course, we remember game 3 in Toronto, where they actually had more power plays than Boston. 0-for-5, though, with the man advantage. They had so many opportunities where their power play really could have been a difference maker for them in Game 3, and they just couldn't capitalize. But the good news for the Leafs is, guess what helps the power play? William Nylander. And him being back on it certainly has the chance to help this power play. There's no question. He's a very important piece to the team offensively, but especially when you're talking about with the man advantage. So it'll be interesting to see how he helps the power play tonight for the
Ian froze. He's coming back in. Or maybe he's not. I'm not sure. Okay, you're back.
Sorry about that. Yep, sorry. We're back. That does happen every now and then with the all the windows open is what causes that. But yeah, we are back. And like I said, you knew there was going to be some lineup changes for the Leafs following the Game 3 loss. But the lineup changes are interesting. Nylander's in. The guy that's out is Connor Dewar, who is not going to give you much offensively, but he's a good defensive player and he's an excellent penalty killer. And that's why the Leafs got him at the trade deadline. But the funny thing is the penalty kill has not been great the last few games for Toronto. So I think they kind of sense that, you know what, penalty killing hasn't been great, and we need to get our offense going. That, to me, is clear as day. Sheldon Keefe's that's his basically his mating call here in this game tonight, is that we need to get our offense going. We absolutely need to get it rolling here tonight. You take Dewar out. Robertson is staying in. So to me, you keep Robertson in, who is a better offensive player than he is a defense. He actually can be a liability at times defensively. There's some, that's always been an issue with Nick Robertson this year, is his defensive play away from the puck. So you take Dewar out. Doesn't give you much offense, but he's good PK and defensively. You keep Robertson in instead. You bring Nylander back. This is a much, you would think this is a much greater offensive lineup tonight that Sheldon Keefe is going with up front. And it's probably worse defensively when you look at it. So, but he's doing this. He's sacrificing some defensive ability with this lineup that he's putting out there for game four tonight to get this offense going. Because he knows you can't score, you know, two goals like they did the other night and expect to win. And you can't go 0-for-5 on the power play and expect to win. You got to get your offense going. You have to get your power play going. So this definitely looks like a more offensive-minded approach that the Leafs are going with tonight, certainly based on their lineup construction. Now, they got a little bit of bad news. Jim Montgomery has decided that's enough for now, at least with the goalie rotation, as we all kind of thought would happen, back to Jeremy Swayman for the second straight game, deciding to go away from the goalie rotation between Jeremy Swayman and Linus Allmark that he has used for the last few months. So, and it's the right move. And I like how he spun it, though. He said, you know what? We got the extra day in between games. So he decided we could be able to give Swayman the opportunity here. No, it's because he's been awesome. You don't have to say it's because we got the extra day that we're going to go away from it. No, you can just say he's been awesome and he's owned the Leafs this year. That's why you would go back to him here in game four. So again, the second. Now, this is a guy that is not used to starting two games in a row. So does he keep this great role going? Does he keep this great ownage going over the Toronto Maple Leafs? Because right now to the Toronto Maple Leafs, Jeremy Swayman looks like Marty Brodeur. You know, that's how well he's playing in this series. He's been awesome. You know, but now is the first time in a long, long time that Jeremy Swayman started two games in a row. So is that going to throw him out of his rhythm? I don't know. You would think because they still had an extra day, it won't be that big of a deal, but you never know. These goalies are weird creatures. We all know that. So it'll be interesting to see if he can still be on the beam, be at that Vezina level, because he's actually playing at a Vezina level here in this series. There's no question about that. That being said, I said from the beginning, this is going to be a back-and-forth series. It's a series I'm going to be looking to bet the losing team of the previous game. So with that in mind, I am on Toronto here at minus 115. I think there's definitely a boost from Nylander being back. Game they got to have. They can't go back to Boston down 3-1. I think their offensive lineup's much more better to test Swayman. They worked extensively on the power play the last couple of days. Nylander back is going to help that. I like that they kept Matthews, Domi, and Bertuzzi together as a line because that line has been good for them. And even with Nylander back, they didn't change that. I do like that. Again, they have more of an offensive lineup here tonight for this game. And I think they've got a better opportunity to test this Bruins defense and make life a little bit more difficult now on Jeremy Swayman and the Boston Bruins, who, by the way, we'll see if Grizzlick and company are back, but they were also down two blue liners last game. They had to put Mason Lowry and Parker Wotherspoon in last game. We'll see if they have to keep those guys in there tonight. But I think it's a long series still. Go 6 or 7, and I sure hope so. That's another reason why I hope Toronto wins tonight, because if Toronto wins tonight, we're going 6 minimum, and we're at least going to cash one of the two with the Boston-Toronto 6-7 game series props that I think I'm on. I think Alex is on. Yeah. Both of those as well. So that's why we're kind of Leaf fans tonight, at least for tonight, to try to make sure we get guaranteed 6 games here in this series. So I'm on a little Toronto minus 115. And you could tell the way I'm talking with offensive lineup looks stronger. A little bit you take away on defense with the lineup the Leafs are putting out there on the ice, that I am on the over bifecta here tonight. Over 1.5 and over. I got over 5.5 at minus 130. So shop around. I know it's 6, but it's 6 shaded to the under. So you should be able to get 5.5 at reasonable price, around minus 130 at some spots. So it's over 1.5 first period, over 5.5 full game for me. And I'm going to sprinkle on the draw in addition to the Leafs from a side perspective, because I think we've been so close to overtime on multiple instances in this series. And I think we're close to one. We're due for one. I think this is, even if the Leafs win, this is going to be a very tight, close game, hard fought. I think we got a chance still to go beyond 60 minutes here in game four. Alex, game four, Bruins Leafs.
Yeah, so I'm not on any side or any total. Like I said, if we get Toronto to win here, I won't have to be on any side the rest of the way because I have series to end in six, series to end in seven, and I have both sides to end in six or seven. So I would be cashing a ticket at any point of that. So I'm definitely rooting for Toronto. May not have anything, won't have anything pregame. May have something in game depending on how I'm looking at stuff, especially if it's maybe leaning toward Boston getting the win because that could potentially kill our six and sevens. So that's how I'm approaching it from a side. Totals perspective, not really looking at anything other than over 1.5 power play goals. You can get that plus 168 over at FanDuel. Like I said, Toronto needs to kind of get that momentum going. And I definitely could see where it could be, you know, obviously the physicality.
And the Bruins power play has been good. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Bruins power play has been good. The physicality is not going to slow down anytime soon. I would really caution people to look at any props involving William Nylander. And like you said, in reference to him coming back from the migraines, we don't know if they're concussion related, if he's had, you know, issues before, or if this is just where he's developing issues with migraines. But I can tell you as a migraine sufferer, and mine are concussion related. I've had 6 documented concussions in my life, and I've been suffering with migraines for about 5 years now. And what makes it so dangerous is that when you go through these different things, especially if it's light sensitivity, which my issue is, obviously we're talking about bright white ice, bright stadium lights, cameras, everything, adding in the noise. And your initial reaction when you have that pain is you want to close your eyes. Well, you can't afford to do that skating at full speed the way that William Nylander does. And all of a sudden you have an issue where all of a sudden you have to close your eyes. Next thing you know, you're opening yourself up to a giant hit, which is the last thing in the world you absolutely need. So there's a reason, a valid reason why he hasn't been playing in this series so far. This is not just a suck it up and go play thing. This is a really dangerous thing to try to play through, especially when you're a top tier forward and a guy that's going to have a target on his back. And it's, you know, they're going to have to watch out for him because even now being on the ice, I'm sure, you know, the Bruins know, okay, well, now that they know this issue, first time he touches the puck, they're going to be trying to lay the body on him. And it makes total sense. So be forewarned of, you know, oh, he's going to come back in the lineup and really contribute as far as goals or points. I wouldn't have any player prop with William Nylander, at least for tonight. Just want to see how he gets acclimated kind of back to being on the ice, dealing with the sounds, dealing with the vision, seeing how he's responding. Watch how he's responding to passes. That's going to be the biggest thing. Is he catching passes cleanly? Is he finding guys cleanly passing the puck around? That's going to be a big testament. So that's something to look at as far as Nylander is concerned. I'm also on the draw as well. I grabbed plus 350, best price I've seen available over at FanDuel.
All right, also on the draw here. And I like the over 1.5 power play goals at that plus price. Think about it. Boston's power play, we know, has already been pretty good in this series. It's been very good, and the Leafs' penalty kill has struggled. The only concern about that prop would be, can you get something from the Leafs' power play? But what do we always say? Sometimes it's a good thing, especially in a playoff series, whether it's NBA and NHL, to bet what the coaches are trying to fix. Okay, bet what the coaches are trying to fix going into the next game. And there is no question that what the Leafs are most focused on trying to fix going into game four tonight is their power play. There's no question, because they know that 0-for-5 cost them in game three. It cost them dearly. So you got to think, and with Nylander back, you've got to think there's a much greater opportunity for the Leafs to get off the schneid with the man advantage tonight and at least pot one. So that over 1.5 power play goals, it's actually really good. I probably will bet that as well. It's actually a very solid situational look. Bruins power play has been good. And if there's a night, the Leaf power play will get things rolling tonight. They focused on it. The attention's been given to it since the game three loss. It'll be tonight that they need to work on the power play. They've worked on it the last few days. We'll see if it provides better results here tonight in game four. As far as props go for this game, you're right. I wouldn't want Nylander props tonight. I'd be looking at Matthews. Keep it simple. Matthews in a game of this magnitude. It's been a pattern. He didn't score in game one. He scored in game two, the game winner. Game three, he didn't score. Probably a good night in the spot for him to find the back of the net here for the Toronto Maple Leafs in this one. Matthew Nyes as well, I'd be interested in as well as far as props there. For Boston, Jake DeBrusk, the Leaf killer. Why not? I mean, all Jake DeBrusk does against the Toronto Maple Leafs is score. He's been phenomenal for them. Keep an eye on that. We saw Brad Marchand make his big big first and big moment in the series, if you will, big offensive production, if you will, in game three, the game winner, and then the empty net goal. So good to see him get going for them. But Jake DeBrusque for sure of interest to me for props on the Bruins side of the equation. I'll throw out Bertuzzi one more time too, because Bertuzzi, finally, you're seeing him back home. He was got credit for the one of the goals, of course, in game three. Domi assist, I agree. Domi assist or Domi point to Rocco. That line, I think, will make an impact tonight. Domi with Bertuzzi and Matthews on that top line. Like I said, the Nylander props, be careful. He's been dealing with migraines. He hasn't played for a while. And they're starting him on the third line tonight, not the top six. So it's very important to keep that in mind, no question. All right, the final game of this Saturday quadruple header. Dallas Stars down 2-0, going back to the Fortress, T-Mobile Arena, to take on the Vegas Golden Knights. -110, even money, both sides, 5.5 the total here in this game. This is a must for the Dallas Stars here in this game tonight. They absolutely have to show, they have to win. It's not just show up and play well and play hard. They've got to win. They need a W. They cannot come back down 3-0 to this team. Vegas team that, you know, with this roster that they have constructed, as deep as it gets up front, as deep as it gets on the blue line, there's no question. We'll see if they've got that killer instinct in them to take a 3-0 series lead. And look, Dallas's confidence has been shaken. There's no question after the first two games. But the key for them is going to be getting more pucks at the net, getting more traffic in front of Logan Thompson. Because quite frankly, they took a huge step back in that regard in game two. I thought game one, they played pretty solid here in, you know, game one. I thought they played pretty solid as far as getting pucks to the net, being physical, you know, and trying to make things difficult on Thompson. I thought they generated enough offense in game one, at least enough chances. Puck didn't go in enough, but they generated enough chances. They didn't get anywhere close to generating enough chances in game two. And that was a big time problem there for the Dallas Stars. Here is what you can, you know, look at as positives. And if you're looking for a sliver of confidence from Dallas, this is still a very good team. This is still a goalie in Jake Oettinger that hasn't had his best first two games, but he's capable of turning it up. He's been very good on the road all season, Jake Oettinger. And this is a team that has played very, very well on the road all season, the Dallas Stars. They are a top two or three road team in the NHL. So they have the capabilities to win a game, if not two games here in Vegas. But it's a must they win tonight. There's no question. The bet that I like the most, now I want to stress this. I think Dallas won't go down without a fight tonight. I'm going to be on them on the money line, but small. What I like more than that is the bet that I cashed with Washington last night. Dallas scores in the first period. It's -150. It's a little chalky. I get it. BetMGM. You could go for over 1, 1.5, but I don't want to do over 1, 1.5 against this great Vegas defense right now that's fully healthy. I just don't. I just want to ask Dallas to get me one goal in the first period in a spot where the desperation, the sense of urgency has to be there in your legs right from the opening faceoff tonight against the Vegas Golden Knights. So I think if you like Dallas in any way, shape, or form, that's the approach. That's how you bet them tonight. You pay the price. It's -150 at BetMGM. But you pay the price for them to score a goal in the first period, because you would think that first period they've got to come out, just throw everything they can at Vegas in the offensive zone again at Logan Thompson and see if they can find the back of the net with that. So that's definitely the favorite look for me in this game, is that just Dallas to score in the first period. And we've been pretty good with these spots. We've hit a few of them already, these first period to score a goal looks. And that's what I like here with this, Dallas to score in the first period in this one. 5.5 is the total. It's tricky because you didn't see it. You saw a lot of shot blocking. You didn't see a lot of shots get to the front of the net in game two. So that 5.5, I'm not as bullish on this over as the other games we've talked about. And I did sprinkle on Dallas money line -110. But what I really do like here is Dallas to score in the first period, -150. And there are some props in this game that I like quite a bit. And we'll mention that in a moment. It's all due to the lineup changes for Dallas, which I'll get into. Alex, what do you think? Dallas, Vegas.
If I look confused, it's because I just saw on my phone the Bears took a punter in the fourth round of the draft. Anyway, I like the first period over here.
Value selection usually, yeah.
No, not really. But yeah, I like the first period over here. I laid $1.15 with this, and it's kind of in the same vein of what you're looking at. Dallas has to come out guns blazing. And I think we're going to see some good back and forth pace early in this contest. And I'm hoping that we could see this first period over cash in to where it gives us an opening to look for a full game under. I think that could be that kind of a spiral, especially if Dallas is down 2-0 in the first. I don't know, even though they would need to have to, you know, push back offensively, I still think that there would be some kind of a control of pace just from them just to possess the puck. Make sure they're taking it away from Vegas first before they even try to kind of play on their own and offensively. Like I said, switching scenes now to Vegas, that's going to be a rocking T-Mobile arena. I think that's going to be more than enough to just get some momentum going both ways. So I'm a little bit of a smaller lean also with both teams to score, but I like the first period over a bit more. You get it as cheap as $1.16 over at FanDuel.
Yeah, I agree. If you like the over, the full game over, I'm a little bit hesitant, a little lukewarm on it, but the first period over probably might be the best look here in this one. Whether it's, you know, I do think Dallas is going to contribute to that first period over, you know, you could get 1-1, you could get even 2-0 Dallas. I don't know if that's possible. I do think Dallas gets on the board. 1-1 first period could be possible as well. But like I said, I do think Dallas gets on the board early. I know this is a really good hockey team. And it's not that Dallas is suddenly a bad hockey team. They're not. They're a great hockey team. It's just that Vegas, now that everyone's there, everyone's healthy. They got Hanifin entrenched there, Mantha entrenched there, Hurdle's back, Petrangelo's back. He was injured down the stretch. You know, they lose Nick Hague the last game. They don't even miss him because they put a cup champion and Alec Martinez on the blue line instead to take his spot. Eichel's healthy. Mark Stone, of course, back for game one. So there you go. With the Vegas, they're just, what can you say? I mean, they're absolutely stacked when they got everybody available to them. And outside of Nick Hague on the blue line last game, they do have everybody available to them right now. Yeah. As far as props go for this game, Marchessault goes without saying. He looks like he's, that playoff Marchessault again from last year, John Masseroll, as Don Cherry would say. Yeah. So any Marchessault props I'm interested in. The big change for Dallas is one of my favorite players in the league, Wyatt Johnston, has moved up to the top line with Jason Robertson and Roope Hintz tonight. It's actually what my favorite player prop to target of any player in the four games today is Wyatt Johnston. They're going to put him on the top. And Peter DeBoer is not one of my favorite coaches. He's a good coach, but he's had some issues in the playoffs at times. He's had some weird remarks he's made during series with opposing coaches and that, but he's done a nice job here with this adjustment. It's time to put Wyatt up there. This guy has been one of your best forwards for extended stretches this season. You've got to get a spark. You've got to get your offense going. You've got to generate more chances, generate more shots, and ultimately generate more goals. What better way to try to do that than put Wyatt Johnston on the top line and get Robertson and Hintz going at the same time as well. So Wyatt Johnston goal, Wyatt Johnston assist, Wyatt Johnston point, and I'm even going to go one step further with over 1.5 points for Wyatt Johnston here because he's going to, I think if anyone is going to give a spark to this team offensively tonight in game three, it's going to be him up there on the top line for the Dallas Stars. So we'll see if this line change. And by the way, he's dropped Pavelski to the third line. Pavelski was on that line. He's down on the third line now for the Dallas Stars with Sagan and Dadot. Sagan's got a little bit of a demotion too, because Sagan's not had a great first two games, in my opinion, here in this series. He hasn't done a whole lot. So Sagan, Dadonov, and Pavelski now, it looks like it's going to be the third line for the Dallas Stars. And they're going to play Ben, Stankoven, and Duchesne on the second line tonight in this game. So that looks like what we're going to see as far as the lineup. Sagan is definitely hurt, Matt. That's true. There's no question. He's probably less than 100%, so I can understand. But I don't blame him for – look, we love Joe Pavelski. But Joe Pavelski, you're right, he's tread on the tires. We said that the other day. He looks like he's a player with some tread on his tires right now, that he's not showing that same playoff pop, you know, that we have seen, at least in the first two games of this series, that we have seen from him in the past. But great game. Huge game for Dallas, obviously. Looking forward to seeing how that turns out tonight. Great stuff. Shout out to everyone in the chat. Do I see this right? Over 600 live viewers on a Saturday afternoon. That's awesome. Hit the like button. We appreciate it very much. Absolutely. And we shout out everyone in the chat for being here on a Saturday. And a reminder, we have another Ice Guys Stanley Cup playoff live betcast coming your way this Tuesday, April the 30th. It is Patreon exclusive once again. So the way to tune in and join us on that betcast Tuesday night is to sign up just $10 per month, patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. You'll get access to all our Patreon exclusive live betcasts, our daily sides, totals, and player props, goalie charts, totals charts posted there each and every day. Our card posted there each and every day. We've got bonus content planned for the off season. And of course, you'll get all of our live betcasts. So sign up. It's just $10 per month. And again, your subscription goes a long way to supporting the show. Patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. And again, our Tuesday betcast exclusive to Patreon members. And make sure you check out the Ice Guys store as well. I believe it's a 15% offer right now available at the store. 15% sale, 15% off all orders. iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
Yeah, that's correct. For today, tomorrow, and Monday, next 3 days, you can save 15% off. Go to iceguys.myspreadshop.com. Click on the redeem button at the top of the page. Add everything to your cart, and it'll be taking 15% out at the checkout there. So get everything. We got everything in stock right now as well, too. So save 15% off this weekend at iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
All right, we got Bargain Bin Special of the Night and Best Bets coming up right after we hear from our great sponsors, Boston Hemp Inc. All right, Boston Hemp Inc., make sure you check them out. Get 20% off all orders on the site using the promo code ICEGUYS at BostonHempInc.com. All right, Bargain Bin Special of the Night, 4 games to choose from. Alex, where are you going for the Bargain Bin Special?
Yeah, well, we're trying to hopefully get one that's in the high range like we had last night with that JT Miller first goal at 14-1. Apologies, I was not feeling well enough to be on the show to give that to everybody, but those of you on Patreon got that. So here's one hopefully we all can cash, and it's in the game with the Battle of Florida. The Panthers taking on Tampa Bay. I am looking at blue liner Gustav Forsling. He's cashed for us before. Looking for him to just get any time goal. The way you beat Vasilevsky is getting traffic in front. And if you got a guy that's shooting from the point, get some traffic in front, you have a little seeing eye shot and trickle in at a 10-1 price available at FanDuel, MGM, and PointsBet. I think that is definitely worth a look. So we're going Gustav Forsling anytime goal plus 1,000. My Bargain Bin Special for this Saturday.
Wow, there you go. Gustav Forsling, Florida Panthers. And he cashed a prop with Gustav Forsling to score earlier this season after he got that big contract extension. So Gus Forsling was good to Alex with the Bargain Bin earlier this year. We'll see if he can do it tonight. I was going to say Lightning can strike twice, but this won't be good for the Lightning. Gustav Forsling, Florida Panthers, plus 1,000. Bargain Bin Special for Alex B. Smith. My Bargain Bin Special, we just talked about him the last game. I think he's going to be the spark that gets Dallas's offense going tonight up on the top line with Robertson and Hintz. And it would not surprise me to not only see him get on the score sheet, but get on the score sheet multiple times. Wyatt Johnston over 1.5 points plus 400 at Bet365. That is what I'm going to rock with for Bargain Bin Special here tonight on this Saturday slate. All right, best bets. Alex, what do you like for best bet?
I mean, there's enough time to get this in, and I know those be listening later might miss this, but if you're listening later, you can try and maybe grab this live in the third period. But it's the third period over with Carolina and the New York Islanders, and the best price, the best number available by far is over two minus $1.05 at BetMGM. That's just a fantastic spot. This has been something we've been tracking for years now. And third period overs in elimination games to get that kind of a price, especially when you have a volatile goaltender like Patrick Roy, who will not hesitate to pull a goalie with maybe even 7 or 8 minutes left in the contest if he's down and has a certain edge, makes this play very, very live. So Canes Isles, third period over two minus $1.05 is my Saturday best bet.
All right, there we go. That's third period over with the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Islanders. Best bet for Alex B. Smith. My best bet, and I'm going to look at the camera for this one. You and I don't do this very much as far as you being on the best bet for Ian Cameron, yours truly on the show. But you're my best bet tonight. I'm putting some faith in you. You've been a loser franchise since 1967, but I'm putting some faith in you tonight in a game you got to have. Show up. Go, Leafs, go. Toronto, minus 115 tonight against the Boston Bruins. Bolstered by the return of William Nylander, working on that power play. Yes, Wayman's undefeated against the Leafs, but now he's got to start a game for the first time, two games in a row for the first time in a long time. Toronto, minus 115 for my best bet. And if they lose tonight, guess what? They won't be a best bet of mine for quite some time. Let me just tell you that. I won't put a specific timeline on it, but won't be for a while after tonight. Toronto, minus 115 against Boston. Best bet here for this Saturday NHL card. All right, great stuff. Shout out to everyone in the chat. Hit the like button. We appreciate it very much. Looking forward to this big Saturday night NHL slate. No question about that. Like I said, four games all in a row today, four games all in a row tomorrow. And we're looking forward to having Jeremy Williams with us tomorrow. Briefly in the NHL, long time in the AHL, long time over in Europe. He will be with us tomorrow on the Sunday edition of the Ice Guys, once again at noon Eastern. So make sure you join us for that. A reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and more. Download the Ice Guys podcast when you can't watch the show live. And make sure you bookmark our new podcast page, Believe.com, BLEAV.com, the new home of the Ice Guys podcast. For Alex B. Smith, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Saturday. Enjoy the games and good luck. And we will be back with you tomorrow on Sunday for another edition of the Ice Guys.